And I want to welcome everybody back to the Prophecy Conference here in Dallas, Texas. And this is Mr. Michael Lake. And Michael, I don't know you, but I want to get to know you, and my audience does too. So just, I'm going to have you scoot over just a little bit more. We can get you in the shot there, and you just tell us about yourself, if you don't mind.
Ex-military, served 6 years in the military when I was younger. Answered the call to ministry, so I left military to go into ministry.
Amen.
In Bible college, my mentor, which was the president of the college, saw that I had a gift for education. While other people were being trained to be a pastor, I was trained to be a Christian educator.
Wow, okay.
And so I've done that for over 40 years, Biblical Life College and Seminary. You know, at our age, we think about kind of retiring a little bit.
Absolutely, yes.
And so I thought, I'm going to write books and kind of peel back the other. And we had bought a building, remodeled it. I was satisfied with it. And God says, no, there's a building down the road that had a fire that's about five times the size of the one you have now. I want you to get that one, remodel it, and start a conference center.
Wow.
And we obeyed God, got it done in 4 years, and it's debt-free. And
wow.
God has us running faster now than I think I ever have. I wish I'd have done this when I was 30 instead of 64. But then we get to come to great conferences like this and get to meet a lot of great people and get them fired up about Jesus and the Word of God.
Right. Well, awesome. Awesome. Just to let you know, my dad was a school teacher.
Okay.
49 years worth in the public schools. Then they retired him. So he went to work in the Christian schools for another 5 or 6 years and then finally did actually retire. And so I know a little bit about the struggles of a teacher. You know, people think that teachers, when they go home, they just kick back and they relax and they take it easy for the night and they go back in the next day and they do the same lesson that they've done 100 times before, and nothing could be further from the truth, right?
Absolutely. I get bored with that. I mean, I always, and you know, with, in fact, on our YouTube channel, I have one where I was just teaching Understanding the Kingdom. I was going to think through some ideas I was going to work for on a book called The Sherrith Imperative. 127 sessions later, each one 90 minutes, I finally got to the end of it.
Oh, wow. All right, well, Michael, you mentioned that you've got a YouTube channel. Go ahead and tell everybody where to find that.
We have two channels, youtube.com/biblicallife.
Okay.
And we're also, in case we ever really make YouTube mad, we're doing a backup on Rumble, biblicallifetv.com. So.
Well, I've had a strike on YouTube before. I'm not gonna lie to anybody. And if I hadn't become a member of the media, I would probably have a lot more. It gives me a little bit more freedom, but I still have to run the disclaimers at the bottom of the screen. You know?
Well, they gave me strikes and they made me mad, and I told them they violated my.
they violated yours.
And so we quit posting for about 2 years.
Okay.
And they finally said, well, you know, did we make you mad? Well, yes, you did. But we're posting back up there again, and we never made them mad enough to delete our channel. So.
Okay, okay. And so now that's one. Mm-hmm. What's the other one now?
Is rumble.com/biblicallifetv.
Okay, Biblical Life TV. So you do television. I'm too ugly for television, so I just do radio myself. But
I test the strength of lenses sometimes.
Don't we all, at one time or another? Absolutely. All right. Well, now you stepped away from teaching and got into the ministry. Did you ever pastor a church?
I've pastored churches, and I still pray for those people because I'm a better educator than I am pastor. I don't have the patience, personality. I'm more of a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it just works out better what I'm doing now. But I have pastored a few churches, and
okay.
Some of them I've started myself. And but I have a better gifting of training pastors than I do in being one.
Yeah, yeah. That's what, you know, the people think that pastors, you know, again, have an easier life.
Oh, no.
And a good friend of mine is a pastor, and I know his travails because, you know, getting called at 2 o'clock in the morning and go around to the hospital or go over here or go over there or whatever. And sometimes he's run into a situation where he's got, like, a person he really needs to talk to over here, but he needs to somebody over here, and if you choose the wrong one, no matter who you choose, right?
Yeah.
And people don't seem to understand that very much, do they?
No, in fact, I've had one of my students, he was pastoring, and he called me and says, what do you do when you have spent the last 48 hours up because somebody's been in the hospital, and you get home and you're in bed 10 minutes, and then your deacon chews you out for being in bed at 8:30 in the morning? And I'm thinking, I know what I'd do. I'd be casting demons out of him or something, or making him run one or the other.
No wonder you got out of that and moved on to something. Well, tell people a little bit more about what you're doing and how they can help you if possible.
Well, we have a unique testimony back in the early 90s. We had the occult come after our family and tried to kill us for about 10, 12 years.
Wow.
Because of the things that we learned. And God protected us. We were sold out. And, you know, people say, you know, how come you did such radical changing in your life? And it's, we were what I would call an average evangelical charismatic Christian, uh-huh. to where all of a sudden we made major changes to absolute, what I call publicity, really living the word. When you're in a foxhole and people are shooting at you, You tend to make radical changes.
Yeah, obviously, yes.
And at the same time, we learn so much. That's why my very first book was The Shinar Directive, Understanding What the Occult Are Doing, going all the way back to Nimrod to modern day. Mm-hmm. That when you read the book, you'll never watch TV. You'll never look at the evening news the same again.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, it all makes sense. Why do they do some of the stupid things they do? Well, absolutely. It all makes sense when you understand the agenda.
Yeah. Now, you stated that you have written at least one book, but I sense there's maybe more than that.
I have four, and by the grace of God, all of them have become bestsellers.
Amen.
To my shock.
Well, now you realize that's Jesus Christ. That's God.
Yeah, okay? It is.
Because no matter what we do, He's in control.
And oh, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. So tell us about your books. Just take them, list them.
The first one's The Shinar Directive, which goes all the way back to Shinar with understanding what really happened with Nimrod, how he's the cornerstone for all the mystery religions and how they have functioned throughout history.
Okay.
And how they use everything from television to politics to education, all of it against us.
Uh-huh.
The second one is The Shirith Imperative. Shirith is Hebrew for remnant. So it's like God's answer to what the devil's doing.
Right.
And the first thing, you know, I'm ex-military, so you want to, you know, if you're going to take on an enemy, you got to cut off their supplies.
Right.
And you got to cut off their communications.
Right.
Well, what supplies the devil? And I go into that theologically, and it's actually our sin.
Okay.
That we actually give him the power to destroy us by the very sin he entices us with.
Right.
And in fact, I discovered in some ancient occult writings, they talked about times of great revival, mm-hmm. that the old gods went to sleep. They couldn't draw the strength to maintain who they were.
Right.
And so they would go to sleep until the occult could come in and put the saints back to sleep and go back to normal business.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a call to the Christians. If we were half as serious about practicing our faith as they are theirs, we'd already be in the millennial reign right
Isn't
now.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just, I mean, a simple call back to prayer, the Word of God, fasting. I mean, just some basic things. If we would go back to the basics. When I was in the military, they taught you, if you're in the middle of a battle and things go south, resort back to the basics.
Yeah.
Because that you've messed up somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think for us to go forward, we've got to go back to the basics to make sure that every one of those steps of the basic Christian faith and our basic Christian disciplines are in place. We always want God to take us on, but why will He take us on when we're flunking kindergarten?
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, I've asked, God, I think, everybody this in the conference today, and that is, do you see a shift coming? Or have we passed the tipping point, or do you see a shift coming back to where this country can some way or another find God again, bring God back into our nation? He seems to be gone now.
I think we're at a tipping point right now. Mm-hmm. And I think things may have to get worse before they get better. I remember after, you know, 9/11 and all these different things happened, God came to me and He says, how bad do you think it's going to get before they really get serious with me? And the hair stood up on my arms because everybody kind of like for 2 or 3 weeks went back to church, and then after that they quit going again.
Yeah.
It's what's going to get us out of the techno sorcery slumber of Babylon and wake up to what's going on and really get serious about God.
Yeah.
And our affluence that we have in America, in a great sense, is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because we trust in it rather than God.
Yeah.
Now, if you're trusting in God, you can have the other.
Right.
And God can bless it. But when you start trusting in this, God's only option is to let it run like sand between your fingers.
Right. Right.
And I think we're almost on the burgeoning of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm still hopeful, but I'm not optimistic. I'll put it that way. I'm looking at this as the final days And I encourage people in every show I do, I encourage people to accept Jesus Christ before it's too late. There is going to come that time where God's not your Savior, He's your judge. And you better be on the right team. And another thing that I have stated on my radio show many times is I fear that the United States of America is going to choose the wrong team by pulling away from Israel and going with the world.
We already have in some of the intel that was coming out in some of the sessions that right now our current White House is trying to overturn Benjamin Netanyahu, get him out of office so they can take over Gaza.
I saw that.
And so there is, and we need to realize that right now America is but one finger in the glove of the technocracy. I mean, they're using China, they're using every nation on the earth.
Right.
But I think us turning our back on Israel, although I think Israel has a spiritual awakening, it's got to go through because right now it's when and I love Israel. I pray for the Jewish people every day. Actually, I had one rabbi years ago. He says, "I bet you pray that I come to Jesus." And I said, "But there's a prayer I say before that." And he said, "What's that?" "That you would come back to Moses, because you'll never find him until you get back to Moses." And so there has to be the spiritual awakening. When they rejected Christ, that a principality replaced God ruling over them.
Right.
That's why we see everything going on in Israel.
Right.
But Paul said, one day, the eye is going to be open and they're going to turn to Christ in one day.
Amen.
And that's what I pray for. And I think just that quick in America, and will we still have 50 states when it's done? I don't know. Who knows what that's going to look like? It may be us flyover states that stay true to God and God keeps his hand on. But I do think we're in a time that God's protective hand is off of America.
I agree.
But it's on the individual believer.
That's
why if I walk with God, I'm creating an atmosphere of heaven around me that creates safety for me and my family. It's no longer riding on the coattails of anybody or anything. It's me holding on to Jesus.
Amen. And I just hope and pray that somewhere or another the country does return to just basic, and I hate to say this, but I will, common sense. I mean, just use some common sense for a change. I got two grandkids that live with us, and the one thing that I always tell them is, all right, look, you've got to learn common sense, and you have to learn reasoning skills. And unfortunately, the school doesn't teach you, so I got to. That's really what it comes down to. And I'm so tired of them teaching, and you'll understand this because you were an educator. Teaching for a test rather than teaching to educate, that don't work.
No, it doesn't. And one of the things I document in my first book, back right after World War II, they changed the entire educational system. You know, the guy who trained Pavlov, that came off with Pavlov's dog, you know, you ring the bell and it salivates. The guy that trained him also trained the guy that came back and trained all of our educators. That we went from teaching them, like right now, if I would go back, let's say, to 1890 and gave you a ninth grade quiz on standard English, a college graduate couldn't pass it today.
Systematic
dumbing down, and they have done nothing but condition us to respond to their commands.
Right. I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. The schools now are so much different. I'm old, okay? Yeah. I admit that readily. But I went to school in 1970s, graduated high school in 1976, and I guarantee you that even as bad as the schools were back then, we got a better education than a 12th grader gets now in the United States, and I'll even include the little city I live in. Just not the same.
An uneducated population is a population you can easily control.
Amen. Now, how about the military? You said that you're ex-military, and by the way, thank you for your service. I did not, I wasn't in the military. My oldest son had, as he quoted, and I said this in another interview, as he stated that he had a buddy die in his arms. PTSD, doesn't want any, you know, won't go into counseling or anything else for that. But the military now seems to be woke.
Yes. they've gone communist. When we have guys that are on the Joint Chiefs of Staff that are quoting Mao, something's wrong. I'm old military. I got out in 82. Okay. So I'm in a sense peacetime, but I was trained in communist doctrine, infiltration, all these different things, the things they do, which now we all see as a standard part and parcel of what they're doing.
Right.
This wokeism is nothing but dismantling of our military force.
Yeah. Yeah.
I shared in my message, you know, a patriot has now been redefined as a Christian national, which is now bad.
Yeah.
And now they wonder why they can't get enough people to join the military to meet their quotas.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. The military now is not the military that I remember. And it's not the soldiers' fault. The ones that are coming into it is what I'm saying.
Well, I think it's the same as maybe like with the FBI. We have a lot of wonderful FBI agents. We have a lot of wonderful Secret Service agents. Mm-hmm. It's the guys at the top.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not. I wish I could say I see a change coming, but on that front, at least until maybe January 20th of 2025, I don't see any major changes coming. And if it doesn't happen by then,
hold on to your hats.
Yeah, I got some serious concerns if that happens. Mike, I want to get back into more into you now. What now? You were a speaker today, right?
Yes.
At the conference here in Dallas. Can you tell us a little bit about what you spoke on? And
the name of the message was "Surviving Satan's Satanic Two of Deception."
Well, that's a big one.
And we need to understand in this day and this hour, everything, education, politics, the news, everything is now a weapon against us.
There's right.
Everything is propaganda. And one of these think tanks in Washington blow me away. Remember after 9/11, and it's very obvious who attacked us, right?
Right, right.
But they said there's terrorists, there's this kind of terrorist, but there's an alias terrorist. And we think, well, what in the world is an alias terrorist? Well, that's a Christian that doesn't know they're a terrorist. Now, I'm ex-military. You know, terrorists are people that blow stuff up, okay?
Okay.
Christians aren't blowing anything up.
No.
Except maybe your vain philosophies.
Wow.
Now they have, after the whole thing of information, they have a new term they call mal information.
Oh, okay.
Mal information is when you tell the truth, but it causes people to mistrust the government.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Then you're like a terrorist. And,
yeah.
You know, my point of view is if you want people to trust you, do honorable things
and tell the truth.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. I guess I shouldn't say this, but I will. I saw Kamala Harris, our vice president, say that in 2022 was the first time that the women's basketball tournament was allowed to have seating. Well, that's been going on for decades. I don't know what her. Anyway, I thought.
Whatever they want to.
Whatever they do, right?
There are no fact checkers for the left, you know.
No, there's not. And you know, I'm very clear on this always. I am not a Republican. I am not a Democrat. I am a 100% independent. And my philosophy on voting is this: if it's God, if they are true believers in God, and their platform is about that and about truth, they got my vote. I don't care if they're a Democrat, Republican, or whatever.
I tell people I am so conservative that I keep two eyes on the Democrat and then another eye on the Republicans.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I've said this on the show many, many times, and that is I don't care. You know, you can be a Democrat, you can be a Republican, but please don't put all your faith into voting for that party just straight up, because no matter what party, they're going to disappoint you. But I promise you, they're going to disappoint you.
The deep state controls both sides. Now, I think there are people in the Republican Party that are what they would consider rogue,
right,
which you and I would consider real Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But they're constantly harassed,
right,
and we need to pray for them, because if they can find a reason to blackmail them or trip them up, they'll
right.
do anything possible to bring them under control.
Amen. Amen. Do you have a website?
The main one is kingdomintelligencebriefing.com. That's our podcast. It's syndicated.
Okay.
Then we have biblicallifeassembly.org, which is the other part of the ministry. Whenever we have a conference, like we're getting ready to have one in May, we're bringing in L.A. Marzulli and Carl Gallops. All the videos from the conference will post up on the website free. So all any conferences we have, you can just jump online and watch them right there.
Amen. Amen. Now, if someone wanted to support your ministry, how could they go about doing that?
Just go to the KIB website, and there's a donate button on the right-hand side of every page.
Makes it that much easier.
I like it simple.
Well, you know, and keep it simple, stupid. I forget. I think that was a Democrat said that at one time. But anyway, that's the best way. Just put the message out there. Now, I want you to take a minute and talk to these folks out here that haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet, okay? And just encourage them to join us.
We're witnessing darkness like never before. Mm-hmm. And this hasn't taken God by surprise.
No.
God, for the last 2,000 years, has been offering us a way out of Babylon. He's been offering us a way out of this darkness. That the God of the Bible is unique from all the other gods. He didn't mess up.
Right.
In the garden, though, he says, I got this.
Yes.
I'll fix this.
Right.
He came, Almighty God became flesh, dwelt among us, gave his life for us, and then rose again and said, now if you just believe in what I did for you, I'll deliver you out of that darkness.
Amen.
And the new birth is real.
Yes, it is.
You're never going to get your thinking straight until you know Jesus.
You see that? That is goosebumps appearing on my arms, because you have spoken truth.
Yeah. And the only way to get your life turned around. I can be happy in all the craziness that's going on out there, because I'm in another kingdom.
Amen. Yeah, because this isn't our home.
This isn't our home. I'm just passing through.
That's right.
I'm here to make a difference, and I'm representing my king.
Amen.
You know, before I'm an American, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God.
Right.
And I'm working for him, and he takes care of me.
Right.
And therefore, I can have peace that passes understanding.
Right.
That same peace can also crush Satan underneath my feet.
Right.
Because Jesus has become my peace, my shalom.
Amen.
And I can trust him. Our God is the only one that says, I'm already in your tomorrow, and I've already got the thing fixed for you.
Right. And that's a straight up fact right there.
Yeah.
it is. I mean, nothing surprises our God. Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, and you know, I have people argue with me about this occasionally when I'm interviewing somebody, but I'm not worried about saying it. And that is that God knew before he created the world that Michael and I were going to be sitting here today talking about this. Okay, I know that blows your mind, but it's the truth.
God is omnipresent, which doesn't mean he's just everywhere. He fills all time and space. Jesus is still the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's still on the cross, and he's kicked back in the millennial reign saying, I got this thing done.
Amen. Amen. All right, now take a minute, as long as you want, and just tell people whatever you want to say. I want to get as much about you as I possibly can out there, where they'll visit your website, donate to your ministry, and keep you going.
I really don't like to share about me. I'd rather share about Jesus.
Do you?
Okay. Now, we're seeing darkness come in an unprecedented way in our time. And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to... We're seeing unprecedented people coming across the border in the last 3.5 years, 10 million.
Uh-huh.
Most of them fighting age men. We're now having not only terrorists come through and the cartel coming through, now we're having Chinese soldiers coming through by the scores.
Mm-hmm.
We could see havoc, unbelievable, if they wanted to release it in America.
Yeah.
It only takes one thing that can stop it. It's not the army, because they're woke.
Mm-hmm.
It's God.
Amen.
That God can stop it, that even if all this stuff would transpire, God is able to take me through it.
Right.
He's our only hope, regardless if things go good, things go bad. He's our hope.
Yes.
And that we can trust in him. I don't have to fear tomorrow, because he's already there. And he has already prepared a way for me. He's already prepared a way for you. And why are we living now? You know, and not only did God know that we were here, you know, you could have been born during the Little House on the Prairie days.
Right.
All you had to worry about is a gunslinger coming to town, all right?
Right.
Why are you here now?
Yeah.
Because God said, this one can handle what's coming if he's in me.
Right. And I know my life changed instantly. I mean, there was not there wasn't a minute or so that went by. My life changed instantly when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Yes, I went through some learning. I went, still am learning.
Well, you're learning who you became.
Right.
In that moment,
right.
You became all that you're going to be, but now you're learning how to walk in it.
Right, right. And that's something that you guys out there are not going to understand that until you actually do accept the Lord. And I also want to put this on this particular show because I think it's important that Christianity doesn't force you to accept Jesus Christ.
No.
Michael and I can encourage you to accept Christ. We can tell you that our Lord is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Him. But we can't force you to accept free salvation. But I can tell you this. Any other religion, you name it, any other religion, it requires you to do something, and that's just to survive your lifetime on earth, but it condemns you to eternity in hell.
Yeah, and Christianity is not a religion.
No, it is not.
It is a relationship. That's why we've got to choose it. Like, if I wanted to be your friend, I've got to choose to be your friend. You can't force me to be your friend.
Right, right, right.
But I can say, okay, I've seen what you've done for me. You've shown yourself worthy that maybe you're the only one I can trust because I've seen the price you paid to earn it.
Right.
And now I can trust you to become my friend. That's what Jesus has done. That the price that he paid for us proves to me that I can trust him.
Amen.
And I've got a testimony over 40 some odd years. I got saved on my 13th birthday.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Oh my goodness, it's been almost 51 years. I can testify that in all those years, he has proven himself worthy.
Amen. Amen. And again, we're entering the last days. For those of you who are wavering and you're not ready yet, you better get ready. Because time is short, I promise you. And you better make up your mind to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before it's too late.
Absolutely.
And it's not a threat. Okay, I'm not trying to scare you.
It's an encouragement.
Yes, that is it completely. Michael, I really and sincerely appreciate you coming on today and sharing with everyone. And I hope everybody will go out there one more time on your websites, please. Let them know that.
KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. If that's too long, you can just type in DrMichaelLake.com. Takes you to the same place.
I insulted the man. I never called him doctor a single time. Well, Michael, thank you so much for being on today. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Wish you nothing but the greatest success with all your endeavors. And I can tell you are filled with the Holy Spirit, sir. And
yes,
I look
sir.
Forward to spending an eternity in heaven with you.
It's going to be a hoot.
Maybe we can talk about the show then. How's
That's
that?
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on.
All right.
God bless you.
God bless.
From Feature Story News in New York, I'm Sally Patterson with a look back at some of the week's top stories. The Supreme Court in the U.S. state of Arizona reinstated a 160-year-old law this week, banning nearly all abortions. The bombshell ruling is the latest high-profile case as abortion becomes a central issue in the upcoming presidential elections. Tony Waterman has more.
The justices, all appointed by Republicans, ruled that the 1864 abortion ban supersedes the 15-week ban. And that came into effect after Roe v. Wade was overturned. The ban will take effect in 14 days, and doctors who perform the procedure could face up to 5 years in jail. But it's unclear how it will be enforced, since the state attorney general has vowed not to prosecute any cases.
The controversial American sports figure O.J. Simpson died of cancer on Wednesday at the age of 76. Simpson rose to fame on the football field and remained in the spotlight when he was accused of murdering his ex-wife and another man in 1994. Ira Spitzer reports from San Francisco.
O.J. Simpson had a standout career as a running back in the National Football League from 1969 to 1979, followed by a successful foray into acting. However, he is best known for accusations that he stabbed and killed his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman, at her Los Angeles home in 1994. Simpson was acquitted of those charges at a blockbuster criminal trial the next year. Simpson was, however, found liable for their deaths in a civil court and later served almost 9 years in prison on armed robbery charges.
Some leaders of South Korea's ruling People Power Party stepped down this week following a massive defeat in the country's parliamentary elections on Wednesday. The opposition Democratic Party won 185 of 300 contested seats in what experts say is a blow to the administration of President Yoon Suk-yeol. North America experienced a once-in-a-lifetime event on Monday, a full solar eclipse. Our U.S. correspondent Benji Hire was watching the historic astronomical occurrence.
Mesmerizing, memorable. The moon perfectly blocking the sun across multiple U.S. states. The sky going pitch black for 4 whole minutes in the middle of the day from Texas up to Maine. Here in the capital, a partial eclipse. 87% of the sun was covered. Still a remarkable thing to witness.
And finally, the European Parliament approved a major revamp of the bloc's migration policies this week. European Union lawmakers gave the green light to the Pact on Migration and Asylum, a series of laws intended to reduce the number of new arrivals, speed up asylum procedures, and establish centres at the EU's borders. From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the Prophecy Conference here in Dallas, Texas. And this is, of course, the Hear the Watchman Dallas 2024 Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies. We've been here since, what, the 5th of April. We're going on till April the 8th. For anyone that is watching this after the fact, you can still get that $10 discount off of the recorded Prophecy Conference, the whole thing. Just use the promo code that you see on screen if you're watching this in visual form. And, of course, that is Last Christian altogether, no spaces, Last Christian, to get your $10 discount. I am thrilled today to have with me Miss Rena Lynn, and welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It is wonderful to see you. And how are you liking the conference so far?
I am loving it.
Isn't it
great? Absolutely loving it.
Oh, my goodness. The speakers are tremendous. I really encourage everybody to please get that if you can, because it is going to speak to your heart, and it's going to speak to your friends. Now, Rena, I want to get into you, okay? This is about you. So, first of all, let everybody know just who is Rena Lynn.
Okay, I was a mom. I was a stay-at-home mom for years, Bible teacher, did women's ministry, worked in missions, just loved the Lord, studying. The Lord called me to write a book, and it's turned into a series, and just absolutely love teaching the Word of God. Right now I'm teaching a class on Thursday nights, ancient paganism, and teaching ladies what false religion looks like, and just raising the bar of knowledge everywhere.
Wow. Well, you got a full plate, it sounds like to me. How long are you still doing the Bible study?
I am.
Okay, and how long have you been doing that?
Off and on for years. I usually start out with apologetics, and then I do some New Age religion and go into ancient paganism, do 3 Corinthians, and then just keep rolling as far as they want to go.
Now, we spoke last night briefly, and you told me that you have dealt with some, there's no easy way to say this, you have dealt with some demonic folks and practices. You were, I believe you said, in insurance at one time, going into people's houses. And of course, you know, you have no idea what you're going to deal with when you walk into someone's house, but you have that sense immediately when you walk in, right?
Yes, it's amazing. I was in a home with a young couple. I walked in, she had a witchcraft t-shirt on, he had a Baphomet on his sweatshirt.
Oh.
One of the nicest couples I ever met with, and had they not been blatant with their signs of showing you what they were into, I would never have realized.
Yeah.
But they had a little 5-year-old daughter, and I still pray for them regularly.
Oh.
But they had on their walls, all of their artwork was demonic. So they had busts of silver two-horned gods. Found out later that was her side business, she made them. But I've been in homes where there are altars. I've been in homes where there's cauldrons on the front porch. And just having studied all of that, I'm reading the symbology as I go in. And it just, sometimes there's an open door to do some ministry. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes the Lord says, don't speak, just start praying.
Uh-huh, right.
But it's been real interesting. There's witchcraft in our world that people don't realize sometimes.
Well, now, I'm not, of course, going to identify where you live or anything like that. I don't even do that for myself for many, many reasons. But that said, your community does have these satanic folks there, and I believe you said that at least one of them attempted to kind of drag you into that.
Yes, I had a lady that I met, and she said that she was a white witch, a white worker, a light worker, I think she said, and she kept wanting to put a bubble of safety around me, and I knew it wasn't the right time to talk to her yet.
Okay.
So I kept just being a little bit bland and talking, and finally she packed me in the corner one day, and I said, I can't let you do that. I can't participate in witchcraft. I'm a fundamentalist Christian. I want to talk to you about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can debate these different things and see how we look at it different. But she just went ballistic and hissed at me. And after that, I had to go back to their house to deliver her husband's policy.
Oh, wow.
And I felt the oppression the closer I got. It was like an hour and a half from my house. Yeah. I just kept feeling the oppression. Well, I'm starting to pray.
Right.
And I called a friend of mine. And I said, look, here's the situation. I could go home and mail it, but I really don't think I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
I, you know, God says you're supposed to go, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
So I get there, and I had set up something a little ahead of time, and I just said, hey, I'm at the place. I told you the last address I gave you, and if I'm not in the car in 5 minutes, send the police. Ha ha, something's wrong. And that way, she knew that.
Right. Uh-huh.
She literally hissed at me, took one look at me, and ran to the back room. The whole house is dark. There's candles and crystals lit everywhere.
Wow.
It was I'm wanting to say it might have been Walpurgis, or it was one of the satanic holiday days. I don't remember which one. But I could tell it was set up for a ceremony. Her husband tried to draw me in, deeper into the house, and I said no.
Right.
There was a little ledge between the kitchen and living room right there, and I just put the policy there, and I had him sign it, and I was out.
Oh.
As I went down their road, it's a very, very remote place, trees everywhere. Like 6 cars came in, and they all looked with shock because I was leaving. And she told me later she had a ceremony planned where it would not have gone well with me. And
I mean,
when you're in the homes, you see the Christians, you see the blatant worshipers, you see everything in between. You see those who don't have a clue.
Right.
But God has really given me an eye-opening of it's here.
Well, it sounds to me like God warned you in advance and had you prepared and also had you protected, I'm going to say, during the visit, and that's important. But I know that you are also an author.
Yes.
And we want to talk about that. So what was your first book?
My first book, I came out of a very abusive marriage. I was married to a man who was eventually diagnosed with personality disorders. And in the process of healing, God said, write it out.
Okay.
And it came out as poetry, and I realized later I could not have written it straight. You couldn't have written it straight.
Okay.
So
okay.
At first I couldn't figure out where's this poetry coming from. But it's actually used by a psychologist who teaches at UT Austin in a classroom. I've had clients in my area tell me their doctors asked them to read it. But it's called Shattered Dreams, and it's on Amazon, and just basically what it's like to be married to a personality disordered person.
Okay, now what is the title of the book again?
Shattered Dreams.
Shattered Dreams.
It's poetry for women who have divorced a narcissist.
Okay, and that is also, the author name on that is Rena Lynn, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So it's on Amazon.
But you can find that on Amazon.
Yes.
Is it also in bookstores? Or
it is not in bookstores. Right now, it's just an ebook.
Okay, ebook. Well, those are popular. They're more popular than you think.
Yeah. And we made it really cheap. Another lady was joined with me. Her writing is spectacular. And I can't think of her pen name right now. And I can't say her real name, so I better just wait on that.
Right.
But we did, because our support group, the ladies, you know, you don't have a lot of money when you come out of one of these situations,
right.
So we made it pretty inexpensive for them. But since then, I've got 4 more books, and that it started out Shattered Dreams, and now it's Kingdom Poems and Scripture, straight Scripture. But it was another interesting thing, because there's 25,000 women on that support group. And there are Buddhists, there are New Agers, there's everything you can imagine. But because they came in when I was so shattered like them,
right.
And they got used to my writing, and you know, they would give me feedback, and it would jumpstart for another writing. But when God took me to the place where I was now writing the kingdom poems and scriptures, man, we had some Bible studies on there. We had some debates with all kinds of different religions, and they listened to it. And one lady said, I would never have let you preach to me. I would never have read this, but I love it because I know when you were there.
Right, right.
So he used even that.
Well, I'll tell you this. My wife, by the way, we're approaching our 25th wedding anniversary here very, very soon. But she was involved in an abusive relationship, actually thrown through a glass table, had a crossbow pointed at her head, guns at her head, that type of thing. So I understand the abusive thing. I understand what goes on. I ask Anita many times, why didn't you just leave? There are reasons for that.
There are reasons
and,
for that.
You have expressed to me, and I'm not going to reveal anything that we talked about that way. If you feel like it, you go ahead. But do you suffer from PTSD in any of the things? I know she does to some degree.
I did go through that. I was falling apart. You think after the divorce, you should get better, right? You know, all the perpetrators gone, and I was getting worse. And I had no idea. I'd never heard of that.
Right.
I mean, I knew it from soldiers, but I didn't know there was anything beyond that.
Uh-huh.
Never heard of complex post-traumatic stress disorder. So I'm laying on my face and asking God, you got to help me, Lord. I don't know what else to do. I've done everything I know to do. I've read everything I know to read. I had not studied his personality disorders.
Right.
I knew what they were, but I had not studied it.
Uh-huh.
But God said, Rena, write it out. That's when I started writing the poetry. And after that, when I met these ladies on my support group, they introduced me to the narcissistic abuse recovery stuff, the trauma recovery. Because when you're in counseling, normal counseling, they teach you to forget everybody else and look, see what's wrong with you.
Right.
But it doesn't help you because it's almost like backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get trauma therapy, it helps you because now it's like, this didn't come from you. You don't have a part in this. This happened to you.
Right.
And you have to begin to see it that way and lose the guilt because they make you feel as guilty. The church makes you feel as guilty because you had to have done something wrong, and especially if you stayed, if you didn't speak about it.
Okay, I'm going to interject right here because we spoke about this earlier, and this is a good point, and that is that many churches want you to stick it out no matter what. You've got to stay with your husband. And that's not at all what the Bible says. Yes, you know, you are, and when God does join people together, he wants them to stay together, but they also need to follow the rules and the regulations that come with that marriage.
Yes. For 20, 25 years, I was told to be a more dutiful wife, told to stop talking about my husband bad, lots of all the other information, look at yourself, see what you are doing wrong, what's your part in this, over and over and over, and Mike Spaulding freed me 3 or 4 years ago, and I hugged him at Jamie Walden's retreat in Missouri because I was just so appreciative. He said that when abuse enters the relationship, it breaks the marriage covenant just like adultery, and not only are you free to leave, but you should.
Right.
And I wish someone had told me that 30 years ago.
Women
Women are trapped by the teachings of the church sometimes.
Yeah, and some women, of course, in some cases it's financial reasons.
Yes.
You're confined in some cases it's children, but no matter what the point is of sticking around, whatever you think it is, there is an escape, and you've got to put your faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you pray about the situation, and if the Lord tells you to leave, then you need to do that. And I know it's a scary thing for those of you that need money. I know that's scary, but you got to put your faith in God. He will take care of you. Now, I'm saying that for people that are Christian. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet,
amen,
then you're on your own, okay? Because God will not listen to you. He will not answer your prayer. I don't care what anybody tells you. He's not going to listen to you if you have not accepted His Son as your Lord and Savior. That was the only prayers He hears. First of all, salvation. You've got to be saved. And after that, you're His forever, and nothing can take you out of His hand. and you just put your faith in the Lord, and He'll get you through it.
Amen, man. I would like to say to the ladies, or men, they're abused men, you are capable of more than you ever thought.
Right.
I was a woman who lived my life in my kitchen in my church system, very stunted because of what was going on around me, and had no clue what I was capable of.
Uh-huh.
I went to college at 48, made a 4.0.
Amen.
I got my insurance license, and I got busy. I went rose to the top 10 in my company, like, almost immediately. Had no idea I was capable of that.
That's the hand of the Lord. Amen.
The hand of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now, well, you're not just a one-time author. I wish I could be, but anyway, you're not just a one-time author. You got some more books, and you got some books that we really want to talk about today. So I'm going to let you pick which one you want to talk about first.
We'll talk about, this is called A Safe Haven. God gave me the idea. He always told me I was going to be writing books. I knew that when I was 10 years old. I should know what they were going to be. But it was after COVID. I'm home alone, stuck in a house, working remote, and it got a little crazy there.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, it's time for me to write the book that God called me to write. And the original premise was to write an end time events, because I believe we are in those days.
Amen.
I believe we're in the hard run to the end. And I think if you go with the birth pangs, we have literally went through transition, and we're it's not going to be stopped now. That baby's going to be born.
Amen. Amen.
So I got to thinking, I was doing life insurance. You're in people's homes. You're around their table, and they tell you their stories. I've done much ministry. I could tell you stories forever of people that I've met and doing the ministry. But I had just gotten off the phone with a young man that I know that counsels male rape victims in the
mm-hmm,
military.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls me sometimes to detox me and him, and I call him to detox me when I've just dealt with a rough lady. And so I got to thinking, what would it be like if you had the best of the best of the best fundamentalist Christians on this end?
Uh-huh.
Not perfect, because none of us are.
Right,
so
right.
You will find things in the book that they do mess up, because how do you show repentance if they don't?
Right.
So, and on the other hand, you've got the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst, pagans,
right.
Satanists, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So being in the place that I live, I got to research in Comanche Indians, because back in the day, you know, they were the ones.
Right.
Found out that they are actually descendants from Aztecs. So that sent me on that end.
Right.
And basically, you know, I've studied Knights Templars, I've studied Druids, all of that for years. So it kind of got amalgamated into that group.
Uh-huh.
So you've got God's people on this end, you've got the pagans on this end. They've been at war for over 100 years in Central Texas, because that's where I set the book. And what would that look like for their modern descendants today?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what if the pagans knew who everybody was, but they stay hidden in the shadows like Satan's people so often do?
Right.
Then they're being attacked. They never know where it's going to come from. They never know who it's going to be. And what would that look like? How do you get the modern theology in that? Good versus evil.
Yeah,
good
right.
versus evil.
Uh-huh, right.
And so I started writing, really intended one book. Right now I'm writing book 12, and I've started publishing. And God hadn't stopped yet, and it's just getting
goodness.
Great.
All
you know.
Well, if you don't mind, excuse me for reaching across you there.
Go ahead.
But I do want people to take a look at this now. This is A Safe Haven, and again, this is by Rena Lim. And where can they pick up this particular book?
They can get that on Amazon. Right now, I don't have the shopping cart in my website. I'm just starting to build it, and I'm a little bit technology limited. So
me too. We're on the same.
It'll come there, but yes,
okay.
They can get it on Amazon.
All right, that sounds great. And again, the subtitle of this is what? Prepare for the End.
Prepare for the End series. That's
okay.
The book one
this
in the series.
This is a series. Okay, and as you can see, this is not a little light book here in any way, for those of you watching this in video form. Excuse me again,
yes.
Man. Now that looks like a project book. Even though it was number one in the series, that wasn't put together in 15 minutes.
No, I've been writing for 4 years now, day and night. I write in the morning, I write at lunch, I write usually till 1 or 2 in the morning. I've been living on 4 hours sleep for years.
I can relate
it just,
to that.
It
too.
Consumes you. You can't get away from it. You
yeah.
just it's like, okay, you got to make another chapter. You got to make another chapter.
Yeah. And the other book that you have that you brought in for me to show today is
that's The Hourglass Flips. We've got one of the ladies that's went missing, and I can't tell you more because it'll ruin the end of the first book.
There you go. We don't want to do
that. They've got to find her, and it sets off a whole things in motion. Within a couple of weeks, book three, which is Ranch Haven, will be out, and we have our the main character is a history professor who also preaches. And he sets up a debate with an atheistic student who is also a coven child. And let's just say the debate doesn't go well and sets a complete rest of the series in motion, and it's all gloves off now.
Okay. Now, again, this is book two, by the way, in the series. So I would not recommend that you jump to book two. Get book one first and then move on to book two, because I bet you that there's stuff that kind of leads into this.
Oh, definitely.
That you're going to have to read book one in order to understand book two. That's just a guess, but yes. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, and right now, book one, if you do ebooks, it's free on Amazon.
Okay.
But what I would really love for you is leave a review. Amazon, your lifeblood as an author is, you need your book sales, obviously, but those reviews.
Right.
And right now, I've got a 4.5 stars, but only a couple of reviews, so okay. I nearly need that.
Well, and you know, those things are important. They really are. And so, you know, if you guys do pick up the book, and I hope you do, either all of them, you're 11. I think you said 11. It kind of blew my mind. But anyway, make sure that you do leave a good review for her. And the one thing that we haven't talked about yet is your website. And I know that you told me that it's sort of under construction right now. But, you know, you're going to be adding more and more to it. But tell us more about the website and, of course, the web address.
Okay, the web address is rinalynn.com. It's RINALYNN.com. I have an email that is askrinalynn@yahoo if you have questions. And it's just now under construction because I haven't built a website in a while and I'm kind of busy writing and working. So I teach classes, so it just kind of got put on the back burner, but I need to do that.
Well, you know, when you've got all these, and I'm in the same situation too. You got this thing going on, you got this thing going on, you got this other thing going on. It all comes down to time. And unfortunately,
yes,
the clock doesn't stop for any of us. And so I understand that. But now, if people were to go to your website, what are they going to see now, and how do you envision it in the future?
Right now, they're going to see basically the very first blog, because I never got it for promoting the book coming.
Okay.
So I need
okay.
to get up there and put a blog about the book that's here, and I need to put the second book and then what's coming. I need to start developing it. I have set up a MailChimp newsletter, but I have not completed it just because of time, so that's coming.
Okay.
So if you want to be on the newsletter, just shoot me an email at askrinalynn@yahoo.com. And I'll get you on it already.
Okay.
And what I see coming, what I hope to see coming in the future, is people contacting, maybe telling me their story, letting me use it.
One thing
I would like to say is because of the abuse, narcissistic abuse meetup that I was on, there's a lot of stories, a lot of women that I've met, a lot of men I've met that have allowed me to use their story. Now,
amen.
None of our stories are told straight.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
None of our stories are told straight.
Okay.
Because obviously we need to be protected.
Right, absolutely.
So we have, but most, and some of it's fiction. I mean, I write fiction, just.
Yeah.
But a lot of the kernels of the stories are real people.
Okay.
We deal with some very difficult themes. There's a lot of recovery in it. And people, as it so often does, when one person hits the wall and everything's stripped down, the past can't be hidden and suppressed anymore, they begin to heal. Well, that affects everybody around them.
Yeah.
So then their stuff comes out.
Right.
So part of the premise of the book, I want to get the theology out there, A.
Hey.
I want to teach people what's coming, because people won't, my books are filled with things that start with doctor. You know, doctors of theology, doctors of psychology, whatever. But people don't read what I read.
Right.
You know, I want the people, and maybe not even the Main Street Church, because they have their theology.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that are searching, that are looking, they're you know, I've got the healing in there. I've got the theology in there. There's love stories. There's original poetry. There's original songs. Mm-hmm. It's just
well,
everything.
I know that many people go to a psychiatrist, they go to a psychologist, but these people are for the most part secular.
Yes.
And they do not understand the Bible, and they're not
exactly
trying to heal. In order to be fully healed, you have to be healed spiritually as well as emotionally, mentally, or physically. And if you leave out that spiritual part, you're not ever going to achieve what you really need to do. Now, if I understood you correctly, you're inviting people to write you, and you can help them.
Yes.
And also,
yes,
do that through the,
yes,
Bible and through,
yes,
the gospel.
Yes, because my thought on it is, my publishing company is called Total Freedom for that reason.
Okay.
Because you need some counseling if you've been through some of this stuff, and I'll not discount that, and there is some very good stuff out there. Dr. Pete Walker has a book, Complex PTSD, From Surviving to Thriving, that is just excellent.
Awesome.
Shannon Thomas has something out. I can't remember the name of her book, but it's really good. But without that soul cleansing, without that renewing of the Lord, that
right,
refreshing of your spirit, and I'm like you, that you've got to have that salvation experience to truly grow as a person and,
amen,
into who God meant for you to be. And the enemy, the whole purpose behind trauma, behind any kind of abuse, in my opinion, is the enemy of men's souls wants to completely destroy us, wants to keep us from growing into who God wanted us to be. He does not want us to be completed as who God meant us to be, so it's a complete destruction and diminishing of the image of God in us.
Amen.
And so to put, amen, that back, we have to have God's input.
Amen.
We just have to have it.
Now, before we started, Arena told me that, you know, she's not into some money, you know, but of course it takes money to do this type of thing. And do you have a way of people giving to you? Is there something on your site or anywhere other than just your books? Or is that the way that they can support you?
I have not thought of that, but I could put that on there. I could put that on the website, and I would appreciate that, because publishing costs are very expensive.
Yes.
And, it, you know, we don't really make a lot on the book either, because by the time Amazon takes its cut,
right,
you pay for the physical book, you pay for the publishing, you pay copyright, you've got to buy an ISBN number, a barcode.
Yeah.
You're in the red long before you ever,
yeah,
see a dime.
It adds up.
So that would be very helpful. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, you know, one thing that people need to pick up these books, if they have any kind of, you know, any of that in their personal history, or beyond that, their family history, their neighbors, their church, people that they go to church with. If they haven't been to church yet, this also is an opportunity to, because there's the gospel is in there. It's in there. And what it does, it gives you that opportunity. It tells you, open the book. We can't bring anybody to Christ. I say this all the time. We can't bring anybody to Christ, but we can lead them.
Yeah.
And then it's up to the Holy Spirit to speak to them, and then it's up to the individual to accept Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Rena, do you have more time?
I got just a little bit. Let me say this. The premise of the book is not necessarily healing from abuse. That's in there.
Okay.
But the premise of the book is the war between good and evil, the fact that Jesus is coming, the fact of people need to be reached, and I try to teach what I call kingdom concepts.
Amen.
That
Amen.
The Lord's people do this.
Uh-huh.
They take care of people. They protect people. They teach people about the Lord, bring them along the path. The enemy does the complete opposite. It's a complete destruction of humans, individuals. There's child trafficking. There's all kinds of stuff in these books. So
yes,
it's rich and full already, and God's not done with it.
Amen. All right, one more time. Give them the web address, please.
RenaLynn.com.
RenaLynn.com.
And the email is askRenaLynn@yahoo.com.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you what. I hope that you make $1 million.
I would love that.
Okay.
It's not the goal, but it'd be nice.
Well, again, I want to hold these up one more time where people can get a really quick look at it here. This is the second one, which is called The Hourglass Flips. This is number two in the series. Number one in the series, A Safe Haven. Okay, again, both books by Rena Lynn, and she's got about 9 more coming after that. So hang in there and grab them all. I wish you nothing but the greatest of success.
Thank you.
And I really do appreciate you taking the time to be with me today. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. And you guys support the work of the Lord, because all of us do it a little bit different. Find your niche. Find what He's calling you to do, because there's something there that you haven't tapped into yet.
Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.